Welcome to The Classroom, your weekly smart look at sports, live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication in Poughkeepsie. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm Jeff Brault, alongside Dr. Keith Strudler. He runs the Marist College Center for Sports.
I don't hear anything in my headsets.
What? It sounds like a personal problem.
No, when you press that button, I do. See, now I hear it. Why do you do that every week?
Because that's not the correct way to do things. With that button on, problems can happen.
What can happen?
Problems can happen. People can hear what you actually think about things during our commercial breaks.
But we turn it off during the commercial breaks.
Unless we don't. You trust Mike Wallace that much? You're putting your reputation in the hands of Mike Wallace.
Yes. Mike Wallace, who sent me...
Famous last words.
By the way, sent me a lovely thank you note.
He sent you a thank you note?
Yes.
For what?
For the Iron Bowl.
Where was my thank you note?
You didn't do anything!
All I did was create the property that exists to give us a reason to go to the Iron Bowl.
You didn't create the property. You introduced me to a wonderful man, DeFelice. Bob DeFelice.
Let's tell everybody our origin story on New Year's.
No, this is you have recreated. What else did you create?
So you,
the World Trade Center,
you, professional middleman, an execution guy. You're a good execution guy. I give you that. Short on ideas.
Oh, that's
you don't have the big picture thinking that I do.
Just come on April 20th. Come on April 20th to the Edison Ballroom, and we'll see what kind of big pictures I can generate.
So I come
to the mayor's webpage
and
see.
I'm thinking big.
Right.
I'm thinking.
You're thinking, how can I weasel my way onto the air, even though I have no platform?
I've got this terrific idea, and I've got all these connections to make it happen.
Mm.
Let me go and put the right people in touch with each other. To build this brand.
Right. The right people. The people who can do things.
You're the doer. The doer. Listen, you need, when you're building a house, you need a concept, you need a designer,
right,
and you need a builder.
Right. And then you also need the guy who's just watching the building on television, and that's you.
No, I'm the guy who designs the concept.
Designs the concept.
This was all me. The name was me.
The name was,
the tagline was me.
The name was you. I will give you the name. The name was you. And I wasn't sold on the name at first. I'll be honest with that.
Worked out okay.
Well, I mean...
You should have heard some of the other ones. We had some bad options.
What were some of the bad options?
I've repressed
I'd like
memories.
To go back to the notes. There's got to be some...
There were some awful, awful suggestions. You know how they say there's no such thing as a bad idea? Yeah, we proved that wrong.
Because I believe it got thrown out to interns. Like, what are some good
names? Yeah, it was like a brainstorming session. There was 20 people in a room. And, oh, God, it was bad. And eventually we just kept it simple.
there were some and so this is like a child's name. You have to live with the name overnight. That's how you do these things. You're like, all right, let's pretend the name is The Classroom, right? And then you go home and you say, oh, The Classroom, and you see how that wears on you. That's the way, by the way, if anyone's about to have a child, and if you're about to have a child, hold off until tomorrow morning or tonight, you know, like after midnight, so you can be the first one.
You get some free stuff if you have the New Year's baby.
Yeah.
Usually you get some free stuff.
Yeah. It's tough though, because everyone wants to do it. Everyone wants to be the one with the first baby.
Tell you what, I'd watch that reality show.
Just birthing races?
Absolutely. Who's not watching that?
Yeah.
It's electric.
That would be a great...
Right?
Well, I don't want to get too graphic here. Are we going from conception? Because that takes a lot more skill.
That's a whole different kind of show.
We are not yeah. doing that. This is strictly... It's a birthing race.
It's a birthing race.
I think we just created America's next great sport.
So you have like 10 people all who have their due date on January 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you follow them as they try to kind of press the moment.
Right. Right.
It's hard. You can't force nature. You actually can. You can.
You really can nowadays. You really
can make that happen. So, that would be a good show. There's another show that's coming out that I know a little bit about just because of my wife's work, that the one where they set people out and then they try to find them.
I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. It's like a cyber thing where they're like,
oh, I have – that's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are involved in that, right?
I believe so.
Because I think it's like called The Runner or something like that, where the person who's playing has to escape everybody else.
They're able to use the cyber software.
Yeah.
And it's basically like without a trace. Like
right.
You leave and they try to track you down. And it's to see if someone can actually disappear. And so I just know this because there was potential software ties and so forth. But I found that to be I'd watch that.
I'm going to take the side of no, by the way. You cannot disappear. It would require an unbelievable amount of planning. I mean, if you give someone a year – to do nothing but dedicate themselves to disappearing, they might have
But it also is the amount of resource you have. Like, yes.
Well, exactly. That's why you need the time. Because you can't use – you have to have nothing but cash.
No, no. But I'm just talking about it, how much resources are we putting into finding you. Like, Mike could disappear from us. If he could – like, he could disappear and we could
– You wouldn't look.
You could disappear from
there,
one
there are
person.
People that would look. None of those people are in this room.
But they – yes. Exactly. I'm talking – are we going to put the entire weight of the U.S. military behind this?
You need – I mean, you don't even need that much. You need one person with access to all the cameras. One person with subpoena power who can get toll booth cameras.
Well, you need some pretty – I think it's secure. It's the software you're going to need. You're going to need some high-tech software that's able to get some real deep data because you're going to be looking for – it's not just the cameras. Every time there's a transaction –
Well, that's why you can't have any – I mean, everything's got to be cash. There can be no transactions. If you're disappearing, you cannot use any sort of – anything that's scanned.
You've got to be able to live off the land a little bit,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
So you need to find a place where there's this infinite resource. But
how do you define disappear? Like what's your time
like we
frame
can't find you.
Without
like
anything?
Vanished. Without a
we
trace.
We can't find you.
Where are you?
Where would you go? Where would you go?
I don't know. Because you can't – I mean, there's two schools of thought, right? I think most people think you probably go somewhere really remote. But I think there's something to be said for hiding in plain sight.
In plain So you're like you're in Times Square kind of deal.
I think there's something to be said for and it's
well, I would think though more not a New York City. I think like a Mexico City.
Sure,
like someplace you'd see in a James Bond film.
Yeah. Now, am I running from a crime or am I just running to disappear?
Just to disappear.
Okay. Then yeah. So then you don't have to worry about things like extradition treaties.
No. Exactly. You're not. I mean, they're not sending you over. There's no intergovernment agreement.
Yeah. I think a Mexico City is probably
a good one.
A good choice.
Santiago.
Chile, sure, yeah. Sure.
It's one of those places where it's definitely James Bond-esque. Like, you feel like there can be an explosion at any time.
I feel like Panama would be a good country for this.
Colombia. A large city in Colombia might work.
Yep. Some of those Eastern European nations.
Eastern European nations would work as well. Prague. A little more sophisticated than you'd like almost at this point. Belarus. I mean, if you could make your way into China, that would be helpful.
China could be helpful. A lot of technology there, though. I feel
like you got to find one of those highly kind of industrialized cities that we've never heard of, but still has like 8 million
like
people.
Like Shenzhen,
right? There's like 10 million people in it. It would be like our second largest city, but it's like their 20th.
And all they do is make iPhones.
Yes. So something like and bike tires and stuff like that, like thing. So something like that. Like I think that would be great. And you end up just in one of those. You know, you end up in a small fishing village, something like that, and you live off the land.
Yep. The hard part would be eventually you're going to run out of money, you know, because nobody can carry with them the amount of money they would need to survive for a lifetime. So eventually you have to figure out how to make money off
the
books. You have to figure out a way to get a new identity, and I think that would be hard.
Well, you got
to
work off the books.
Right, right.
But so you're working, you got to work on the kind of on the you know, kind of a bizarre economy kind of situation where you're just getting paid some cash to do, you know, labor.
Right.
To do labor. You're fishing. You're moving stuff. You're just working for some guy.
But you got to do it in such a way that people don't ask questions.
But you want to be with people that also don't want you to ask questions. You want to be with people like everyone's got something to hide. That's where you want to be. I think you don't want to get involved in like a serious business. You don't want to wake up and realize you're on like you're in Scarface all of a sudden. But you do need to be kind of in a bunch of people that, you know, all have a backstory and everyone's just kind of keeping their own business.
You would not be able to disappear because of that.
No, he wouldn't be able to disappear because when he gets dressed, he wears 5 different patterns.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't want to disappear because I'd want them all to know how famous I was.
Yeah, that too. Like, he wouldn't be able to do like a fisherman's job. He couldn't do that without...
Well, I'd have
without
to remind,
getting some,
I'd have to
you,
remind
you would
them
demand
that
some kind of praise or award.
Well, let's be honest. They'd all recognize me from all my media appearances, so they'd be like, wait a minute.
No, they wouldn't.
We know you. So
no, they wouldn't.
We believe we saw you. Last month, we heard you on the radio, so obviously I would have a harder time. I mean, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. Tom Brady can't do it. I mean,
I'm sorry. Let's back this fishing trolley up here for
LeBron
a second.
LeBron James can't do it.
The immediate comparison to you that you
Bill
thought
Clinton,
of was Tom Brady.
Bill Clinton can't
you
do it.
You believe you and Tom Brady have similar levels of fame?
You know, I'm just saying there are people that can't. Bill Gates can't
Here's
do it.
Here's an interesting question. Keistrutler, give me
what
the person who you think has an analogous level of fame to you.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Why? I'll give you one for me. Any not famous person.
Well, I'm above that. So I would have to go. That's not.
I guess I have a little more than a totally not famous person, but way less than anyone who would like get recognized in a supermarket. Like theoretically, there are probably people out there that know who I am that I don't know, but it's not like nobody's gonna like stop me and ask for my autograph.
We also don't do anything that gets your face out,
right?
By design. Really? So I don't. I look. I'm as famous as, you know, you all know I am.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, there's not a good analogy.
Sure there is. This is what you do is you think of analogies.
All right. So I would say, I mean, it's not in the same world, but, you know, like a second string NFL quarterback.
Oh, my God.
No.
That sound you heard was me hitting the microphone with my headset. I was so blown away by that.
That's the most humble thing you've said all morning, by the way.
That's true. I could have gone first string, like, in a non-playoff team. I could have gone that route. So that beard, how's that beard working for you?
It's good. I like it.
The itch gone?
Yes. We're getting to the point where we're about a month in, which means we're starting to think about like beard sculpting options. You know, what do we want to do with it once it's fully grown? We're getting to that point, but we're not there yet. Right. That'll be a task for the new year.
Yep. So by the way, this is our New Year show, a little loose.
Yes. Happy New Year, everyone.
New Year. And by the way, you're welcome because I think, first of all, we're the only people working here on this campus.
We're the only people working in this county.
So everyone is off. This is like an 8-day weekend. So,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy, right? So and you guys are all off. You're doing whatever you're doing. You're preparing for tonight. By the way, I just want to need to – I don't like New Year's Eve. I can't stand it.
No.
I hate it.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I don't hate it. I'm indifferent to it. I don't
like it. Yeah.
I think anybody who builds up expectations for New Year's Eve is just only going to be disappointed.
I don't like New Year's Eve. I don't like staying up past midnight. I'm not a late night guy, so I'd much rather be in bed. And so, but you have to be up past. And by the way, it's not just midnight; it's one.
Sure,
you can't just be like, "All right, good night."
Right. You got to get to midnight, and then everybody winds down. Yeah, the winding down is the tough part.
So I'm not a big fan of this holiday at all. I mean, if I'm up past midnight, I want to be like, I don't know. I don't want to be up past midnight. I want to watch a sporting event, you know, something. But I want to be in my bed. So I don't like New Year's because of that. I don't like the anticipation. I feel like it's forced fun.
It is forced fun.
You got to, oh, everyone's having a good time.
Right. Well, that's why it's so disappointing. You come in with these expectations, and then you realize that you can't force those things.
I mean, it just happens to be another night of the year, and they're going to drop a crystal ball.
We are literally celebrating something that happens every 24
hours.
By the
way, I don't understand any of you people that want to head down to Times Square.
No, my God,
no. By the way, this is my favorite part about Times Square. To barricade it, you know what they're doing to barricade Times Square? Lining the whole area with garbage trucks. As if it's not bad enough, you get that odor. Winding in. I hope they're empty.
They're not empty? I hope they're empty.
Well, I don't know, but there's no bathrooms in Times Square either.
I do know that. It's bring your own thermos.
That's awful.
Mike Wallace, you're a young buck. Would you ever go to Times Square on New Year's Eve?
I would never. I would never do that.
Do you know people that would?
Yeah. I think I know people who are going this year.
Oh, God, I wonder why.
I have no idea why.
I mean, I guess there are some people who want to do things to say they've done them.
Yeah.
And like I can kind of respect that point, I guess, if you're just trying to check something off a list. But, boy, I don't see the appeal.
The other thing that's really obvious is I don't really like anything.
True.
I don't really like anything. And I also just, I mean, I came to this conclusion when I was on vacation. Because when you're on vacation, I just got back from Jamaica. And when you're in like a place like Jamaica, you're sitting in one of these resorts, you end up sitting at a chair by a pool for a long period of time. I'm not good at that.
No,
I'm not a relaxing kind of guy. I get bored
at that too.
Right, yeah. So and you end up just overhearing people's conversations. Mm-hmm. All these people, right? Not one of those conversations make me want to walk over to the chair and slap them in the mouth.
What were some of the problems you heard random people having? Because I love to overhear people's
conversations. Oh, someone got really angry with one of the workers. They were chatting about this outside of the gym, about how one of the workers was telling them they couldn't reserve chairs. And the chair reserving thing is nuts at these resorts.
You can't do it. Everybody knows that.
No, you can't reserve a chair.
No,
they do. That's how these resorts work. Everyone does reserve a chair. I don't start me on this thing. All right? I don't care. All right? I don't care. But it's just the way it works.
These chairs are first come, first serve.
No, but that's not the way it is in these resorts.
We live in a society.
I'm just telling you, the people reserve these chairs all day. I don't care. But I'm just telling you. And so she was going off about how stressful this was about the whole chair thing. And I was like, look, I'm as spoiled as they come. This is beyond first world problem. Like, this is beyond the 1%. Like, she's worried about her chair situation in paradise, right? That's stressful. So That was one. Someone else was sitting there talking about his kids and how this one's going to be a dentist and this one's going to be that. And I just wanted it. I wanted to beat him up. I just couldn't take it. I just can't. I can't stand listening. I mean, this may actually surprise you. I can't stand listening to rich people's problems.
That doesn't surprise me, because you think everyone's problems are insignificant compared to yours, which aren't problems. So the only rich person who should have a problem, therefore, is you. And everyone else is just complaining.
That's correct. What they have are insignificant details. All right, I actually deal with real things. But so you just listen to these people jab on all day. And then you got the guys who think they're cool and they're like, oh man, we're having a party. Like, I don't care. Just shut up. Shut your big fat pie hole. Go back to the buffet. Shove another daiquiri down your fat face. All right? And leave me alone. All right? Leave me alone to count down the hours so I can get back on an airplane and go back and sit in front of my big screen in my house so everyone will leave me alone.
First of all, you don't have a big screen in your house. We've been over this. Your TV is criminally small for the room that it's in. You have these massive ceilings and like a 36-inch television.
No, it's 42 inches.
That's fine. It's still way too small for the room that
it
it's
is.
In.
It is, and it's got surround sound built into the raised ceilings, the vaulted
ceiling.
Speaking
of forced fun, how New Year's Eve is all about forced fun, did you notice on your vacation the phenomenon of forced vacation fun? Because this happens a lot.
Oh, well, that's what these
vacation resorts
are.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we're doing the limbo.
No, the whole thing is, all right, don't forget at 3 o'clock, it's dance party by the pool. And they're like, come on, you're going to do this. I was like, I'm sorry, man, I'm not doing the dance party. And they're like, come on. And I, look, I shouldn't be doing, but my wife kind of likes to have fun like that. And she's like, let's dance. And I'm like, ugh. So, and then she gets angry at me because I look like I'm not having fun. And I'm like, well, you know why I look like I'm not? Because I'm not wearing a yellow shirt with a giant star and I'd be like, woohoo, it's dance party. Everybody, disco. Anything goes. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. I don't like forced fun. I don't like planned activities. I don't want to be like, hey, at 3:30, it's beach volleyball. Like, I don't.
What was the most fun thing you did during your trip?
Probably, like, I don't know, like, had a piece of pie or something like that at a buffet. I was like, oh, they got chocolate pie today. Oh, look, mango juice. Like, that's probably it. That is probably it. I mean, that's literally the one thing I did that I didn't hate. I didn't mind doing karaoke. I don't mind karaoke.
What's your karaoke song?
Everybody's got a song.
You're not going to. My karaoke song was We Are the World.
What an awful choice. But kind of so awful that it's great.
Exactly.
Kind of makes a lot of sense for his personality. Because a bunch of different famous people and he's doing all the parts.
That's exactly right. I was like, now I'm Ray Charles. Now I'm Kenny Rogers. I'm Cyndi Lauper now.
That actually makes way too much
it's
sense.
It's perfect. Why be one celebrity when you can be all of them?
Happy New Year, everybody. We are going to talk about sports this morning. A surprising amount happened in the world of sports this week. Last night, unbeknownst to many, Ronda Rousey fought. And, well, that's the end of that chapter because she was knocked out in 48 seconds.
It's like I thought she was Michael Spinks fighting Mike Tyson.
It looked a lot like that. Turns out she's Ian O'Connor made this point on Twitter this morning, a lot like Sonny Liston, who was invincible for a while, then got beat once, and then just sort of kept getting beat. And then
it's over.
That seems to be what happened to Ronda Rousey. A lot to talk about with that fight last night. One, hardly anybody knew was happening outside of ardent fight fans. Then two, it could be the death of women's MMA and a big blow to MMA in general, regardless of gender. College football playoff, obviously, huge semifinals underway today. Featuring all major conference teams, but there are a ton of small conference teams.
Or no, I wouldn't say small conference, but
the other five, the FBS.
What are the five conferences that are not the Power Five?
The other five.
No, there's a name for them.
I don't think that's.
There is a name for them.
I don't know what that is. Somebody might have just made up a name.
No.
But it's the Mid-American Conference, the America East, the Sun Belt, those
there's
guys,
a name
the
for
Mountain
them.
West.
They're not. There's a name for them.
Okay. What is it?
Group of five.
Oh, I'm sorry. The other five can't be it, but group of five.
But that's what they actually call themselves, the group of five.
I don't think they call themselves that. I think somebody called them that.
It would be a bad choice. That's like the other guys, which was not a bad movie.
Great movie.
That was not a great movie.
I love that
movie. Not a great movie.
That's one of my favorite comics of all time.
Not a bad
Citizen Kane is a great movie.
No.
The Other Guys was entertaining.
The Other Guys
are
pretty.
Difference.
It's a pretty good movie.
Big difference.
It's a pretty good movie.
Really good movie.
It's a pretty good movie. Those two have a little bit of chemistry together. Right?
Yeah.
Those two guys have a little bit of chemistry.
Anyway, Wahlberg's funny.
Mark Wahlberg is funny. He is funnier than anyone gives him credit for.
These other five conferences are
the group of five. The group of five. The American, the Conference USA, MAC, Mountain West,
such
and Sun
a bad
Belt.
Name.
They are thinking about starting their own playoff, independent of the big boys. Because These little guys, let's face it, with the college football playoff, don't have a chance at winning a national championship.
They did.
It's not happening.
Houston had an outside shot this year to get in, and they had to be perfect.
Right.
They literally had to be perfect, and they were darn near close.
Well, Western Michigan was literally perfect.
Yeah,
and they finished 15th.
I guess, in all fairness, the only way anyone from the Power Five could get in, if you happen to be probably in the American or maybe Boise State, and run the table and schedule two really good other teams from Power Five conferences that just happened to be like Houston ended up with Oklahoma and Louisville a year that both those teams were exceptional and beat both of them. And so it is border. So even at that, it has to be perfect. And then you can't have a day off. And Houston had a couple days off.
Yes. That's the problem. You can't beat Louisville and lose to Navy.
And SMU, by the way, at the back end of that. So you're right. It is. And Houston was a team that was being eyed for Power Five consideration anyway. So they were almost there to start with. So you're right. Western Michigan, whether Boise State, any of those teams that are kind of on the outside looking in, they really don't have a realistic chance because a one or even in some cases the two loss Power Five team would most likely get in front of them. I'm sure a two loss team would probably, certainly would have gotten in front of a Western Michigan.
Oh, I think there were some three loss teams ranked ahead of Western Michigan. They were literally 15th in the college football playoff rankings. They went undefeated. There were 14
when do they
teams
play?
Ahead of
when, do, when is Western? They're playing. They've got a big. Are they playing Oklahoma
tomorrow? They're in the Cotton Bowl, I believe.
Who are they playing? Mike, you guys sit
on
there.
It.
They got a big game, a winnable game.
Sure. But this is the other thing we're going to talk about. There are no big games outside of the college football playoff. There just aren't. They've all become exhibitions. We were talking about this with the Orange Bowl last night, and we'll get into this more in a second. All these other bowls that used to be so prestigious have just turned into something of afterthought. So we've got college football playoff talk. Ronda Rousey fought last night. We're going to do recap 2016. Go ahead. What do you got to say?
I'm just looking through some random things online.
And we'll talk about the random things that Keith Strudler finds online.
Western Michigan plays Wisconsin, on Monday.
That's a bad matchup for them.
Yeah.
Because of the size.
Yeah, but so would almost any major conference.
Wisconsin
team.
Just plays a brooding,
I wouldn't count Western Michigan out of that game.
No. Is it true that Cher has left the country?
I haven't heard.
Wisconsin, by the way, is a three-loss team.
Maybe Cher is trying to escape.
Well, she's not doing a
she
good job.
She could be on the lam.
She's not doing a good job because it seems like they found her online.
That'd be a good get for the premiere
I'm
episode.
I'm a sucker for the sponsored ad content stuff.
You would be. You're the target audience.
I mean, now I know there's four major heart attack red flags. I gotta start checking for these.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more of The Classroom after this. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back to The Classroom. Don't forget that you can like us on Facebook by searching for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom and check out archived versions of our show on iTunes in the podcast section, ESPN The Classroom. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, Mike Wallace hanging out with us. And our new friend Matt is here. How you doing, Matt?
Hello.
Matt's been here for quite. Matt's been.
Yeah, but today he's involved
in
the
show. This is what people don't understand, is that this truly is an educational experience. So Mike has now removed himself from the hot seat, and Matt's taking over. Final lesson of 2017, 2016.
Matt, are you nervous?
Big shoes to fill.
No.
Does this work? Am I talking?
I hear you.
Let's talk again, please.
Talk, yes.
Hi. It's a lot like the new year. It's out with the old and with the new.
Yeah. So we are always, this is an educational program. We are always teaching. All right. So that's what's happening right now. I believe my two kids are still sitting outside. I haven't checked that. So last time that happened, one of them had a seizure.
True.
Yeah.
Not a joke. True story. Matt's about to be tested because we're going to this morning's big story. Oh, he's All right, I saved him a little by pushing him later.
It's the big story.
The other five. That's, I think, the best thing we can call them. The small
the
five.
Group of five.
The
group of five.
The other five. Mine's better. The other five.
You, God, you know, you're a lot like my wife. You never, ever admit you're wrong.
Because the other five is a great name. It's a great name. It connotes everything that they are. The group of five could refer to any group of, to be fair, the big five are the group of five. Why aren't they?
But the other five.
They're a group of five.
There could be the other five all the time. How about the next five guys in the basketball court? They're the other five.
They are the other five. Assuming you go five in, five out, which you don't do. Some very few teams do.
Kentucky does.
Very few teams go five in, five out, in which case they would be the other five. Yeah.
Well, that's what they always do in youth basketball. Like when you play youth basketball, like kids, you know, 6, 7, 8 year olds, they just do that. They rotate five in, five out. They try to find a way to keep their best kid in every now and then.
The American Conference, Conference USA, the Mid-American Conference, the Mountain West, and the Sun Belt, along with Independence, BYU, Army, and UMass, are thinking about.
BYU is another one of those teams that's always kind of toying with being a Power 5 school.
Well, they're the last other five school to win a championship. Yeah. They did in 1984. Those schools together.
Didn't they share that one with Colorado, I believe?
They may have. Yeah. Those schools together are thinking about forming their own championship. Essentially, splintering football into not just two divisions, FBS and FCS, but three. Mm-hmm. FBS, something below FBS, and FCS.
Yes. So it's almost as if like they did in Texas high school football, where 5A got so unwieldy that they ended up 5A1 and 5A2, and it's very unclear on what actually distinguishes the two.
Northern Illinois is leading this charge for an other five playoff. Athletic Director Sean Frazier has come out and said that it's time to have a realistic conversation about creating a playoff for the group of five. And then he asked, why not have those discussions? A number of people, including the commissioner of the American Conference, have said, no way, no how. Nope. We play in the FBS. We compete for national championships. We don't want some sort of JV consolation championship. Keith Strudler, what do you think is going
to
happen?
It's hard to say, and I think a lot of this will have to do with what the Power Five Conference wants to do. And I think part of what Brett McMurphy in Northern Illinois is trying to do is to at least be part of the conversation. What's happened in college sports, and particularly in college football, is that the Power Five conferences have increasingly grabbed power, and it's been kind of this eminent domain situation where they've slowly, either through rules or just through brute force, taken more and more control over what happens. And I think what used to be a system that gave kind of some crumbs to the other guys has become less that. And almost all of the decisions, if you talk to anyone, look, even talk to the athletic administrators here at Marist, they've made it very clear that the Power Five makes all the decisions now. They yield all the power. I think, at the very least, what a conference like the Sun Belt or the MAC or any of those conferences are doing are saying, we are no longer simply going to wait to be told what to do, but rather at least push the narrative. Now, whether or not they actually move forward and start their own playoff, I think at the very least what this does, and there's some history for this, what this does might be to force the Power Five conferences to do something. To force the Power Five conferences to say, look, we're going to give you a shot at being in the playoff, or to say, you know what, we're completely splitting away. Because right now what's happening with the small conferences is they're in complete limbo. They're not officially out, but they really have no way in. And that's almost the worst-case scenario. So perhaps what this might do is to force the Power Five conference to say, you know what, it's official. We're on our own.
But why would it do that? I mean, the Power Five doesn't care. Why should they care? They have all the power. In the world would they make any concessions to these other five conferences?
I think the NCAA is bigger than just college football. And I think this isn't all that different than what happened in the 1980s when some of the smaller conferences, 1970s as well, when some of the smaller conferences teams, and it was Tulane back at that point, some other schools, were pressing the major schools on television dollars. And there was this back and forth on what was going to be allowed and who should get a share of this and who should get a share of that. It's not all that different what happened with the BCS back in the early 2000s when they said, we want a piece of the pie. I think the Power Five conferences, maybe not. Maybe they're literally ready to say, we don't care, we're on our own. But the NCAA tournament could get torn apart. The basketball could get torn apart. All the other championships. I know the Power Five think they can exist completely on their own, but I don't think the college presidents would enjoy that as much as well. If you take those five conferences and make them an entirely separate entity, it's going to be increasingly difficult for those schools to claim that this is not a professional sports organization, right? Maybe that's just it. Maybe at that point they're going to have to say, we're split apart, we're doing our own thing, and we're going to pay our athletes. Maybe that's it.
I think that's what should happen.
Because they
are a professional sports
organization. But that's not what the college presidents want.
Oh, no, I know. But I think it's time we drop this senseless pretense.
Sure.
We went to the Iron Bowl. We walked around Bryant-Denny Stadium.
That was a drop. That was, by the way, that was just – you just said that just so you could remind the listeners that we went to the Iron Bowl and that we were on the field during the game.
There is nothing –
am I right there, Mike?
Yeah, that was
there
fun.
There was no need
that
to was, say that. There was no need to say that.
Mike, that's a nice hat you're wearing today.
Thank you. I wore it on purpose.
What team does that hat represent?
Alabama roll title.
Right. We were there. There's nothing amateur about that.
No.
That was a professional athletic event.
I understand that. But once those conferences split apart, I think it's going to be virtually impossible for them to say this is just college sports. It would look, I do think if the Power Five conferences increasingly or continue to shut out these group of five, as you like to call the other five conferences. Yeah, I'm not sure at what point they're going to continue to play along in all the other sports because they get nothing out of it. Right? At some point, they may have to say, we're on our own now. If those group of five conferences have no access to the big bowls, to the championship, really very limited access to college basketball, kind of the NCAA tournament, because most of that's geared towards the Power Five conferences as well. Why not just at some point say we're creating literally our own division? Because they spend way too much. They're spending right. – they're overspending now to right. try to keep up with these other schools. Well, and they're getting no – it's taxation without representation.
That's exactly why the split's going to happen, is because the chasm of money has widened so much. It did not used to be, even 25, 30 years ago, that the biggest athletic departments, Texas, Michigan, Ohio State – spending
$160, $170 million.
It didn't used to be – a gap as wide as it is now between the biggest and the biggest small one, like an Ohio University or something like that. Now that chasm is so wide, you can't make up for it.
So what it's going to come down to a little bit is an ego fest. And you notice there's even a divide in those group of five conferences. The ones that are in the meat of the pack are certainly at the back. I'm sure the Sun Belt's all in on this. Right? The ones that are there that are really struggling, they're probably happy to get out at this point because they know – there's nothing they can do to keep up with those big schools. However, the schools in a conference like the American, which really were the leftovers that didn't get picked up by the Power Five conferences, the Houstons, the UConns, right, go up and down, the jumping pad to the next level, those schools are against it, right? Houston, the American Athletic Conference openly has said, we don't want to divide from the college football championship. We consider ourselves to be a part of that. Those schools are going to have a hard time swallowing the fact that they are no longer part of that top division. And as you see in college sports almost exclusively, these decisions are made not usually on logic, but much more likely on ego.
I think, and this is a point that you made off air earlier, I think the reason those schools aren't getting on board with this group of five playoff is because they think they can be part of the big boys.
Sure.
They don't want to alienate. They don't want to make themselves separate now because I think Houston views itself as the next team up.
They should have been. If the Big 12 wasn't worried about dividing television money, they would have been in. And if Texas didn't want to worry about recruiting, they would be in. And Houston was a logical next choice. And I think Houston fit in quite well with the Big 12. And BYU is probably not in on ideological. I think enough college presidents were a little worried about their treatment of LGBT students and so forth, and some of their policies. So I both of those schools should probably be in a Power Five conference already.
I just think it's darn stupid for these other five schools not to want this. I mean, they are fooling themselves. They are lying to everyone if they think they can win a national championship, especially
with
the playoff system set up the way it is.
They're not going to win a national championship. They have to decide what their athletic program is for. What is the goal of their athletic program?
I mean, the worst thing that it could be for is for nothing. I mean, the FCS has recognized that it is separate. It plays the same game but in a different way.
But that happened,
and they have a way to crown a champion.
In 1978 when they pulled out, when they went to 1AA because schools realized they couldn't afford the scholarships and they couldn't afford – I mean, before the economy came even a quarter of what it is right now. So
if you want to a lot of these schools think that if they get out of playing for the big prize, the college football championship, that they're going to be irrelevant. Well, there's nothing more irrelevant than competing for something you have no chance of winning. It would be like – a regular runner entering a marathon expecting to cross the finish line before the professionals. I'm like, yeah, you're playing in the same event, but you're not competing for the same thing.
Standing at the front of the New York City Marathon. There's always like three guys that stand in the front, and you're like, that guy's not going to last. Yes, it is so. But there are a lot of alumni and a lot of people, a lot of boosters, who take a lot of pride in the fact that Ohio U and Bowling Green are in the same category. I understand they're not the same as Ohio State and as Michigan, but they thoroughly enjoy that pedigree. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to have to swallow a lot of pride to make that work.
Yes, and that's what needs to happen. Somebody needs to slap those people, bring them back to reality, and have them recognize that, I mean, what is your top-end scenario here? Michigan, Western Michigan this year, 13-0, 15th. In the college football playoff rankings.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
They beat everyone.
Yep.
And there were 14 teams ahead of them.
Yep.
Many with multiple losses.
There is no college football playoff win. Now, perhaps the scenario, maybe the win is this. What are they playing in? The Sugar Bowl? Orange Bowl?
Michigan Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl.
That's the win. So they're on the national stage.
But it's not the win anymore. It's not the win anymore because these other bowls are now irrelevant.
I know. That's the win. But, again, maybe – now.
That was the win when we had the BCS and there wasn't a college football playoff.
So what about the scenario? And there's another way to look at this. And I think we both largely agree, and I think this is the history of the NCAA. The history of the NCAA is the big groups keep peeling off. Everyone, Amherst used to play Ohio State. I mean, that was the 1940s, right? So the history of college football is that everyone played together and schools got bigger and spent more and other schools would pull off. Then we had Division II and Division III, and then we had Division I AA. Right? This is now we have the Power Five. So that is the history. And then as schools wanted to jump, they'd move up a division to try to keep up. That's the history of college sports. So this isn't anything new, the idea that maybe you might have a big group say, we're now bigger than the rest of them, and we're going to put a dividing line, and it's going to change. It's uncomfortable, and it usually goes through there's a lot of growing pains to get there. But it's been actually a long time since we've had any real divide in college sports, and it probably needs to happen in Division I. And we're not really – you're aware of it, but most people, and certainly our listeners probably aren't. It needs to happen in Division III as well. The Division III situation is completely unmanageable. You have well over 400 schools, some that are – like Mount Union that are athletic powers, and some that are 500-student Catholic schools, right, that look like high schools in their athletic kind of pedigree. So that needs to happen. We should have five divisions at this point. Right, and Division II is the only stable one, even though it is in some ways unstable because no one wants to be in it. Because the other two divisions look so appealing, so that this is not a new scenario. But the other thing that could be happening is, and I know you say, what does the Power Five conference need to do? Like they're not going to lose, they're not going to give it in a game of chicken, right? So they say, peel off, do your own thing. Even though I do think they risk looking more professional than they want to look, they love the shroud of amateurism.
I agree, they love that.
And so,
but it's time to drop that
that's
pretense.
Fine. But no one's gone that route. I understand some of the big time college football coaches. None of the college presidents have.
I agree. And that's what needs to change. Let's drop the pretense.
That's not going to change.
Let's drop the. It'll change eventually.
Well, only by
it'll
court.
Absolutely.
By court decree.
And these schools have formed. I don't know if you saw this. Have formed a political action committee. They are lobbying Congress now. Almost certainly. Just to make sure that Congress gets involved, should these athletes ever be deemed employees, and
to give them some kind of federal stature, and that's also part of the history of college sports. But there is the only card that they have, because I think this would work for everyone if the college presidents will go along with it, is you build this thing to an 18 playoff, and then the other five, the group of five, have a guaranteed one in, and that becomes their playoff to get that one team in, and it allows them to kind of save face a little bit and to know every year there's going to be one team. And so this year it would be Western Michigan, right?
I agree with that. I like that plan from a fan perspective. I don't think you'll get the Power Five to do that because, I mean, look at all the bowls that have already been devalued. If you go and do that and you bring the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl, you bring them in to the college football playoff, I mean, now really say goodbye to the Belk Bowl and the Chick-fil-A Bowl
but I think those,
and the Peach Bowl. Like, goodbye.
But they're gone. But aren't those at this point – look, let's be honest. Aren't those at this point simply glorified exhibitions that allow teams to have an extended season?
And make money. And get paid.
But they don't make money. They don't make money off them. None of the schools make money off these bowls. They don't. They spend more on travel. Like, they don't make money on our guaranteed ticket sales. They don't make – I mean, that's a fact. They don't make money. Outside of the major bowls, they don't make money. Most of them lose money.
Then why are they doing it?
Because they want an extra month on their season, and they want to be able to deal with their alums. And that's it. That it's simply – look, you get an extra month plus a practice. That's these coaches will – they break the rules to get an extra hour, right? So the bowls are prestige. I mean, you pay for it, right? Same reason college basketball teams go play in these tournaments in the middle of nowhere because they get extra games. Right, so that this is a strategic function, and they could put up on their wall what they did and so forth, and everyone wants to do it. And 5 and 7, like literally 5 and 7 tiers, 6 and 7 yeah. teams are going. There's some awful football teams. Who was missing? Was it Mississippi State, Ohio U?
Both losing records.
Yes,
yeah.
That is an awful football. Game.
There were a couple of those. There were a couple of those. Wyoming. Played, I forget who, BYU maybe, Wyoming played team with a losing record.
So these things are happening. So leave the economy. The economy exists only at the top. Go ahead and make the Orange Bowl more valuable by making it part of the playoff. Make it more valuable. Bring the money back to it. I think there's a winning strategy. You're going to have some travel issues for some of the alums who now might be forced to go to 3 games, which is tough. But I think that's all workable.
Forced. Oh, we got to do it.
Well, no, but some of these teams won't travel. Like, Washington's not traveling to 3 games.
No, but again, it's not a forced thing.
No, but I'm saying, yeah, I understand. But for the economics of the gate revenue to work, the teams that get into the playoffs have to travel now to 3 games. I understand Alabama will travel to 20 games, but the non-SEC schools and the non-Ohio State and Michigans are gonna and Wisconsin's who will travel to anywhere, they're gonna have to travel. Like, you know, we were actually sitting next to representatives from one of the bowl games at the Iron Bowl. There's a good name drop. That's a strong tie I just did because I brought in other people. And I think
it was worse than mine.
No, it was not worse because I brought in the people we were talking.
Mine
with.
Was in the flow.
No, mine was perfectly in the flow because now and I will not to name who we were speaking with, but I think they obviously had concerns about certain bowl teams making it in because they may not be able to fill the stands even in just a single game. And so if you're asking schools like, I mean, imagine if a Stanford gets in and Stanford's, you know, got very wealthy alumni, but it's not a big school, and I don't think they travel really well for sporting events. So. There are some growing pains that would come with it. I think the answer is your 8-team playoff. Look, it obviously should come with these athletes getting paid. That's not going to happen right now. And that would save face for everyone. So what could be happening right now is a giant game of chicken where in the end of the day, the Power 5 schools hold most of the cards, but not all of the cards.
7 of 8 of the cards, if you will. We'll take a break, come back, talk about New Year's Eve college football playoff next in the classroom, Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Welcome back in the classroom. Happy New Year. It's our final show of 2016, obviously, since the last day of 2016. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler. Mike, Matt, Keith Strudler's 2 kids, Sloan and Elliot, hanging out in the classroom. We got a full house today for New Year's. Surprising.
You can drop your kids off here. We run a daycare. That's how we fund the program.
For a second, I thought you were looking at me. I'm like,
What if we did have a daycare here?
It would be like a regular show. For a while there, we did. I believe it was the designated job of a couple of our early interns just specifically to watch your kids.
Yep. Look, everyone's got to get to work.
You, talking about Keith Strudler, you are not going to be able to watch a lot of college football today.
I'm
going to
watch the first game at 3, and I'll do that. That's the Washington, Alabama game,
Washington.
Which I'm fearful might be just exactly what I think it's going to be.
Could be 42-7.
Right, and I love the Washington head coach. Obviously, you know, turn that program into something special. Could be very good. Could be the next Oregon. Right, that could be the program that dominates the West Coast for the time being. Great place, great location. I'd go play there. I mean, to be honest, I think they've got, besides the Nike thing, I think their advantage in the West Coast is great. Seattle's a better city, right? So. But the second game is where the action is.
It's a good game.
That's Clemson. I mean, you got Dabo. You got two kind of big figures. You got Dabo Sweeney, who's a little nutty, and then you've got Urban Meyer, who's kind of the Darth Vader figure in some ways. Of the, well, I guess that's actually That's actually Nick Saban. So who's Urban Meyer from as a figure kind of standpoint?
Who's Urban Meyer from
and it could be any
figure
movie.
Standpoint? All right, so it's got to be a guy who left a major organization under false pretenses to start another organization.
And has, you know, he's – I mean, I'm just thinking of where he fits in figure-wise. But he also – I think there's some questionable integrity.
Oh, I think so. I think
and
he left,
and pretends him to he pretends to be this
pillar.
Oh
yeah, when he left Florida, you know, he did it under all these. Oh, I want to spend
my
time
health,
with my family,
two,
my
two
health.
2 hours
reasons.
Later, he's on television,
and then he's exactly at a bigger job. Yeah, it's a good question. We'll have to think about that. Send us one on Twitter at @ESPN_Classroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
An analogous villain for Urban Meyer.
I think he's a villain figure,
but you're not going to get to see a lot of that game.
No, that game starts at 7.
You might be able to see it. You might be able to see it because.
How am I going to be able to see it?
At the party? Yeah, you might
I don't think
that's your son, Sloan, giving you a little encouragement.
But I don't think they...
All hope is not lost. Do not despair.
We're actually going to a party, and I know this is... I'm not even sure they have... I'm going to say this, and it's going to hurt me. I'm not even sure they have cable television.
Oh, no! How? It's 2016!
Beacon, New York.
No, it's almost 2017.
Eve, it's almost 2017!
Beacon, New York. You know Beacon.
I do. But cable has made it there.
No, it's not that. It, I mean, Beacon's it's too cool for school.
But there's
oh,
programming.
Watch it off your iPad.
There's programming for those types of folks. Everyone likes House Hunters.
Yeah, but there's something right. They're too cool for it. Like these are the same people that they also want to homeschool. I'm not talking about these, but like they, everything is right.
Well, then I'm sorry.
Hyper organic.
I'm sorry. This
you know what I'm talking about?
This might sound harsh. You shouldn't be friends with those people. Those are not people you need in your life.
I agree. I'm not talking about it, but I agree. I think if you are going to eschew like the innovations that have made this country great.
Or even not even that, just societal norms.
Yes. 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 If you yes.
Be like, "You know what? You're not too cool to use soap. You're not." You're just not.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't like it when people think they can outsmart everything. I don't like that.
There is a reason that some things have become accepted practice.
Yep. Yep. We wear shoes for a reason. We bathe. We believe in schooling for a reason. Like all these things, right? We have cable for a reason. I understand it's expensive. I understand you can cut the cord, but don't. And if you cut the cord, you better patch that thing together in a way that makes...
Even if they've cut the cord... There's no excuse for them not to have an Apple TV or a Roku or a Chromecast or a whatever and stream the games on the Watch ESPN app.
But I think that's probably what the scenario here. But they are also like so that the situation I'm going to be in tonight. I'm not sure that they know that there's a college football playoff going on.
That's almost worse.
I'm going to
get. Look, I get some people are sports fans and that's fine.
No.
I get that. That's okay.
This is what's going to happen.
But,
I'm going to walk in. If I walked in and I was like, "Oh, wish I could watch the playoff tonight," this is the response I'll get. Oh, well, who's playing? And you know what that does to my soul? Like, it hurts me down deep. They're going to say, "Oh, who's playing?"
I mean, not everybody's a sports fan.
No,
I
but
get that.
But should
fine.
You not know that there's a playoff? I've had this argument with my wife. Should you not know that there's a college football playoff?
I don't know. Because I look at it like this. I didn't know there was a Ronda Rousey fight last night. We'll talk about this in our second
hour.
Yeah, but
it wasn't publicized at all.
No, this has been publicized, yes. I mean, as long as you've turned on a television in the last week, you should know there's a playoff going on. But if these people don't have cable, it's hard to not know what you don't know.
It bothers me. It bothers me a
lot. You want to pick the games? Should we let
Sloan
tell us who's going to win today's college football semifinals?
First, can we get some lines on these games? The first game, we got Washington, and what is the actual bowl game this is? Do we have – these are bowl games.
I have no idea. They are, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Because we sat next to the Peach Bowl representatives.
It doesn't matter what bowl it is.
We sat next to them.
It's the college football semifinal number one.
If you sat next to them, would you say, I don't
– I did sit next to them.
Yes, but would you have said your bowl is irrelevant?
I would have said their name is irrelevant.
No, then they
call it what you want.
So I believe we have at least a 14-point line on this thing. Is that right, Mike?
That's what it opened at. I don't know what it is now.
How many bowls are we going for?
Two bowls.
Two.
Just two, whatever.
Just
not
two.
Even bowls. Football playoff semifinals.
What's the first
not
bowl,
even calling
Mike?
Them bowls.
Mike?
They don't deserve it.
The Peach Bowl?
Yes. Thank you. That's Washington, Alabama. Yeah. Just give me a line.
14.
That was
still
the most
two touchdowns.
Awkward. 14. Sloan, Who do you like to
win
the game?
We're making Sloan pick against
Alabama,
the spread here?
Alabama or Washington and the spread?
You know, I like Washington to win the game. I don't know if they will, though, so I have to pick Alabama.
So he would like Washington to win the game.
It's not like you said he thinks Washington's going to win
the game. Who do you think's going to win?
I'm hoping Washington. I think Alabama with their defense is going to win, though.
Well, that's astute analysis. Their defense is elite. Really good. There's a couple first-rounders on that defensive line there.
So I'm not going to pick against that, to be honest. All right.
No, you can't. You can't. I'd be honest. I'd take Alabama with the 14.
Will you take the 14?
Yeah, I'll take Alabama.
You give the 14?
I'll give the 14.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love
this? I have a hard time believing it's not going to be 42 to 10.
All right, how about this? Here's the scenario. Let's play pure hypothetical. Let's say that's the later game.
Okay.
And I'm sitting at home, and the game's getting hot and heavy, and all of a sudden Washington is in this thing. And my wife is like, Keith, we have to go to this party.
Yeah.
What do I do?
You stream it on your cell phone.
No, but she's like, you're not watching the game. What do I do?
Divorce. The only option. You're left with another. There's no other option.
All right, we got.
You've been backed into a corner.
You can't.
Then you don't watch it. I don't know. It's not. You act like it's the end of the world.
If
anything that great happens, there'll be no way for you to see it ever again.
Yeah,
it won't be on every Twitter account in 3 seconds.
But you have to experience it live. You know that. All right, let's get the next in. This is the interesting one. I'm very confused on this.
Yeah,
one.
Ohio State, Clemson.
I think I want to say Ohio State's like a 3-point favorite on that, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Two.
It moved. Ooh. I think it started as 3.
It's a close game. I basically pick them.
Yeah. Sloan, who do you like? Ohio State, Clemson.
Ohio State, just because.
Oh, because why?
Well, because their team is just good.
Where's this play game playing being played? Is this the Orange? It's not
Fiesta
the
Bowl.
Fiesta Bowl, Arizona.
The PlayStation Fiesta Bowl.
I bet you. I know what they're getting their swag bag. Yeah. So, yeah. I would. So here's my thing. I picked Clemson on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't like my pick, but I picked them.
Okay.
I don't think Ohio State's that great.
They're pretty good.
Clemson's got an electric quarterback situation.
They do, but Ohio State's got pretty good defense.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
It's a good game.
You got good coaching.
It's a good game.
That's what you want. I will stick with my pick with Clemson.
No matter what happens, if Alabama beats Washington, you get a team with some history.
That's
right. With the Crimson Tide.
You got revenge at least one way. Oh, boy, that would be fun. That would be fun. And you know what? I had an opportunity to potentially go to it, and I'm not.
That's what, as we discussed last week on our Christmas Eve show. Yeah, you couldn't do it. So we like Alabama and Ohio State. That's Sloan's looking
like
for Alabama, Ohio State.
So I went heavy on the favorite.
That if I win, then you have to fix the Wii.
What's wrong with the Wii?
I just sit in front of it to play. I can't sit back on the couch.
Do I look like an electrician?
Okay, then hire an electrician.
Yeah, a professional Wii fixer. Kid's got a broken Wii.
Or get a PlayStation. Or get an Xbox.
Well, that's what we need.
You know what? Why not both? Why not both?
Got a dome hockey table, an air hockey table, and a Wii. That seems like enough, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the Wii's broken.
Yeah, we have a broken Wii.
Can you play it?
No.
So then you have to talk in the microphone, or else you're literally just having a conversation with me.
I can barely. The kid's got a broken Wii. We got to take a break. I got to process this. I'm going to use this timeout to try and process how Sloan soldiers on in the morning. And we're going to come back and talk about Ronda Rousey getting soundly whipped in 48 seconds last night. More of the classroom ahead, Fox 12 20, 97.3. We go to the second hour of the classroom here on New Year's Eve, live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, Mike, and Matt hanging out, helping us produce this program. We're going to talk here in our second hour, our final hour of 2016, just about the year in review, the year in sports. And we were just getting into this off air. Absolutely amazing sports year. When you go back and think about it and line it up, we'll dig deeper into that in a moment. But first, last night, there was a Ronda Rousey fight. And I don't know about you, Keith Strudler. I know you were traveling.
Can I stop you for 1 second?
Okay. Oh, my God.
So I'm just reading an article about something that has nothing to do with this.
Uh-huh. I'm sure no one cares.
Chuck Todd's 44 years old.
Okay.
That means he's younger than I am.
Yeah.
Like I'm 45, he's 44.
Sure.
And I can say this. He is far more successful than I am.
True. Yes. Yes.
So
you want me to really blow your mind? Mark Zuckerberg's like 32.
Yeah, but Mark Zuckerberg's like otherworldly.
You want me to keep blowing your mind?
What?
Every professional athlete is pretty much younger than you.
That's a whole different world. Like,
you want me to keep blowing your mind? Almost every entertainer is younger than you.
Yeah, but that's a very specialized skill. Like, that's like Chuck Todd doesn't have any. It's not like he's anything special. He's just a smart guy who's really worked hard at his job and made it there, right?
I'm sorry? You don't think Chuck Todd is good at what? You don't think
no,
Chuck
he's great.
Todd has.
I'm saying, but he wasn't born with this elite talent. Like, professional athletes are born with this kind of sick elite talent. Chuck Todd's just a plugger. He's
sure.
a plugger.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't born with any different kind of skill set than I was, but he's become so successful. I never like I don't like seeing people that are younger than I am that I see that are so highly successful. The athletes I don't like, because I don't even consider the athletes to be the same species as I am. That's totally different.
I'm going to blow your mind. Doctors what? Are younger than you.
Yeah, but a doctor's nothing special. Nothing special about a doctor. I'm a doctor. That is true.
I hope to God that one day you were on an airplane and somebody, you know, has a medical issue. Now, I hope it's not a serious medical issue. I don't wish ill on anyone, but I hope that a flight attendant has to shout out, "Is there a doctor in the house?"
Can I raise my
hand?
And
your ego demands that you put your hand up. I want to live in that moment.
And they're going to come over and be like, "Can you help?" And I'd be like, "Would you like to see the book chapter I just published?" It's pretty good.
So
I wouldn't do that.
So are you done now?
But that was a moment for me. So that now I'm ending 2016 on a sour note, feeling bad about myself. I like to have an affirmation every day.
Why does other people's success or failure make you feel any way about yourself?
It's because how do you measure yourself? Other than relative to other people.
In your heart.
Well, I feel bad. I feel bad in my heart. Because people don't tell me how good I am. I don't hear it. I don't hear it very often. I don't hear people tell me, like, "Keith, you're great."
Maybe there's a reason.
If people
Maybe there's a reason. You know what? People don't tell me that they think I'm a great basketball player. Maybe there's a reason.
I need people. If everyone – and you could, by the way, tweet at us at ESPN_classroom. Or if you don't want everyone else to see it, just tweet at me, at Keith Strudler. And just tell me how great I am. And – then I'll leave 2016 feeling pretty good about it. Like, I'll leave 20 – I mean, you know, just go ahead and do that. Send me away on a good note.
Or, if you want to have some real fun, don't. Send away on a bad note. Write in everybody who you think is more successful than Keith Strudler. We'll take that as well at ESPN_classroom. Just a list of people who you think are more successful.
You know the worst part is? Some of them will hurt. Some of them will be like, the guy that waits at me at the bagel shop. Like, it's going to get down to that.
I hope it gets down to, like, people's personal heroes. They're like, you know who I think is more successful than you? There's a guy who organizes charity drives
in
our
community. Well, that guy's good. I'll take that guy. Because I'm not – look, I'm not going to lie. I'm not particularly
– a good person.
Yeah, I've never – I mean, I'm not. Well, look, we went over this last program. I'm morally bankrupt. And
yeah.
You are emotionally bankrupt.
Yeah.
We've
been over that.
We've been over this. Yeah. I am not – if you're looking for someone to save the world, keep on looking. I'm not going to do that. If you're looking for someone to save himself, you got your guy. Like, I am – the rule one of being an intern at the classroom, if you're on an airplane, you have to put my mask on first.
Did you see that happened to the Butler men's basketball team?
No, what
so
happened?
So Butler was playing St. John's a couple nights ago. They had a charter flight from New York back to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And somewhere over Pittsburgh, the cabin lost pressure.
Oh, that's scary.
That's scary. They descended.
What kind of plane are we talking about?
Well, it's a smaller plane, so it's a charter plane. So I imagine it's a smaller, you know, probably
like a
70-seater. No, it's probably a little bit bigger than that. But, yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, 40, 50, 60 seats,
prop
something like
jet
that.
Or?
No, I would think it's probably it's got engines.
Well, props are engines.
No, but I mean, jet engines.
Oh, boy.
They went from about 35,000 feet down to 10,000 feet in about 10 minutes. Not like a free fall. The pilot was bringing them down because the pressure dropped, but the oxygen mask came down. They put their masks on.
What happened? If you don't put those masks on, you pass out, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know how much pressure they lost, but they lost enough that they were told that for safety reasons they have to put the mask on.
Oh, no.
They made an emergency landing in Pittsburgh. Everybody's fine, but their coach saying that a lot of guys were really, you know, distraught. They were in tears. Mm-hmm. Some of the coaches and people with families were texting their wives, like, not sure if they ever see their families again. Very scary situation.
Who do I text in that situation? That would be really... I mean, you got to be strategic at that point about who you're texting.
He sent two texts.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hold on.
John Frankel and Jack Ford.
Let's back this up a second. You are in a situation where you fear for your life.
I'm not so sure.
We just literally had your 9-year-old child on this show. You are in a situation where you literally believe you might die.
Yep.
And you're sitting there like, I don't know who I'd text first. I have to be strategic about it.
I'm just saying, you have a limited amount of time. I don't know when the oxygen's going to kick in. I want to get my best messages out first before I start to get a little loopy. So, I mean, what are you writing, too? What are you writing?
I love you.
Or, do you want, I mean...
Do you use it as an airing of grievances?
Because, I mean, you want to get your last words in, right? And no one's going to argue back with you. By the way, this thing is going down. I just want to let you know, last week, you were the one that forgot to take out the trash.
By the way, that would be an awkward find for the first responders. Be like, oh, boss, this cell phone keeps going off.
If you're having an argument in your last moments, no. It was you that said that we were supposed to go left. It was you. I said all along, the passports were always in your suitcase. You put them there. That would, I mean, right? You might as well get it out. You might as well get it out.
What goes on in your mind?
But it is also, by the way, it's also a great time. If you're assuming you're going to make it, like cabin loses pressure, but you're like, hey, I'm pretty good. It is a good time to get that whole, like, oh, I don't know what I would have done without you. Like, you send the, I love you, I may not make it. There's the other side of it is go really deep. Go beyond even what you're feeling because you're going to get it back in spades.
I see what you're saying because you think you'll survive.
Yes.
But you're you would milk a potential life-threatening tragedy to try to get something back on the other end.
Because then they'd be like, oh, I don't know what we would have done without you. We really had to think about losing you. Like, so you really should write the, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We're going down. I just want you to know I care about you so much. It's been such a great, like, you go real deep. You go almost beyond, right? Just to the line of what's almost, like, ironic. And then, like, when you live, they are, like, you're reborn.
Imagine if you went the first way, though. And you aired the grievances.
And then you lived.
And then you lived.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting to see you again. But I will say that the awkward thing would be if you lived and you did write the nice note to your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, you know, all those things, you know, and then your wife happens to see your phone. She'd be like, wait, why did you text Jack Ford four times first?
It's almost like that great scene in Almost Famous when they're on the plane and the plane's about to go down and they're all confessing things. And the one guy in the back just finally shouts out that he's gay. And then everything's fine.
It is. I mean, you do have to. That's the problem. That's the problem. If you make some. That's what I'm saying. You do need to be strategic in those moments. You do need to think about both scenarios. If you do make it and if you don't make it. And I think you want to walk a fine line of doing something that's going to work either way.
All while your metal tube is falling out of the sky and you've got an oxygen mask strapped to your face.
So was there anything special about how the masks were applied?
I have no idea. I don't know. What would be special about it?
Well, did
you
they
put your own mask on before assisting others?
Are they like, that guy's a starter? That guy's a starter.
I think they had masks for everybody. They had enough for the bench too.
Look, you're a walk-on. Managers, we can find another.
But fortunately, everyone was okay.
That is scary.
They landed in Pittsburgh. They bus back to Indianapolis. Everybody's okay.
How long is that bus ride?
I don't know. What do I look like? MapQuest? It's Pittsburgh to Indianapolis. It takes as long as it takes. Well, stop in Cleveland.
I will say, here's another question. So you have one of these situations, right? The plane's scary.
Yep.
And you land.
5.5 hours.
That's all right.
I would have thought it'd be longer than that. Okay.
Do you are you comfortable getting back on the plane?
So apparently Butler, they had two options. They could get another flight from Pittsburgh to Indianapolis. That would have, or they could have gotten taken a bus. And I guess a lot of guys didn't want to fly again. I mean, I don't. I think they'll be fine. You know, with
because statistically speaking, I mean, let's not get too morbid here. You're safer on that airplane than on the bus.
That's true,
right? But are you able to deal with that?
I think immediately it's probably a lot tougher than it would be weeks and months later. That would be my opinion.
I believe one of my children just jumped off a chair there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
What you missed, because you're sort of faced toward me and I'm facing the window, they've just been running laps back and forth.
Oh, good.
So, but we could only see them in, you know, the windows in the front of our studio. We can only see them when they cross by. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how far they're running. Right. We just see, you know, some zip.
All right. So we were talking about Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, why not? So Ronda Rousey fought last night. And, you know, Keith Schreller, you were out of the country. I wasn't.
Yeah.
But I didn't know until yesterday morning that she was fighting again.
Yeah.
And I don't think you knew until yesterday either.
No. I didn't know until this morning when I saw it on Twitter that she lost.
This snuck up. This big fight snuck up on us. Mike Wallace, when did you know this was happening?
As it was happening.
So you didn't know in advance?
No.
There was no, like, you never even had a chance to think about maybe buying the pay-per-view?
No.
Didn't know. Matt?
Can I be honest for a second?
Yes.
I didn't know who Ronda Rousey was until about an hour ago.
How is that possible?
I mean,
how is that possible?
Wait a minute, hold on.
Don't know.
Wait.
Have you heard of Nelson Mandela?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, wait. First of all, let's just set some baselines. You have internet access.
Yes.
You have television.
Correct.
Yep.
You have friends.
Mike Wallace.
And you ostensibly like sports and competition.
Yes.
Right.
And you like watching and reading and learning about that.
Correct.
And you visit a lot of sports websites like ESPN.com. Yep. How in the world have you not heard of Ronda Rousey?
Nope.
Not
that is actually
strange. Do you like any sort of...
Not an MMA guy, not a...
But Ronda Rousey's been in major Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
She's been on every talk show. Like, she's had been on magazine covers.
This would actually be a great segment idea. Who does Matt not know?
Well,
we just start naming people that seem like that everyone should know. Like,
Jose Altuve, Mike Trout.
Like Matt Damon. Like we just start naming.
I mean, I think. I mean, Mike Trout and Jose Altuve.
I could not see. Like, I could see not knowing Mike Trout.
Like those are.
Do you know
great.
Any fighters?
McGregor, right?
Conor McGregor.
Yeah,
sure. But I mean, like Mike Trout and Jose Altuve. Don't have the level of fame.
That's right.
Outside of, like, Ronda Rousey, if she wasn't a fighter, would be famous.
Yeah. I think my wife knows who Ronda Rousey is because she's always in the news.
I bet there
she
are people
would not
out
know
there,
who Mike Trout is.
Right. I bet there are people out there, if you're like, oh, Ronda Rousey, they'd be like, oh, she's a fighter? I thought she was an actress. Or
well,
whatever.
They probably know she's a fighter and that's how she, yeah, but that's, but they don't, they've never seen her fight.
That's shocking. You didn't know who Ronda Rousey was until we started talking about Ronda Rousey.
That's right.
You had no – well, this actually underscores, I think, our greater point. So Ronda Rousey fights last night, her first fight back.
It does drive home something you just said earlier. Yeah.
Since losing to Holly Holm. That was over a year ago when the cloak of invincibility was taken off, right? When 12-0 Ronda Rousey, this unbeatable force in MMA.
That was the Mike Tyson knockout.
Got literally kicked in the teeth and lost to Holly Holm, who was a shattering underdog.
Yep.
Like a 500-1 underdog.
Buster Douglas.
She took a year off. More than a year. Medical reasons, personal reasons, training. Comes back. Fights last night. No week of publicity.
Didn't Didn't she do the whole Siberia thing? Like
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if she went full Rocky IV. Yeah. but she asks for no week of promotion. Which is, I mean, there's the old adage in the fight game is you don't get paid to fight, you get paid to promote.
Yeah.
So she does no promotion, which obviously led to three of us in this room having no idea the fight was happening and one person who just has no idea that this person's alive goes in and fights.
But she had made our year-end poll one year.
Oh, like, yeah. She was huge.
I know this. Take out the Olympic athletes because that's kind of – it comes and it goes. After Serena Williams, she might have been the most famous – maybe a soccer player, maybe a Hope Solo. After those two, she might have been the most famous female athlete in the country.
I will go so far as to say that among males, she was probably the most recognizable female athlete.
You have to go Serena.
I think among males.
Over Serena?
Only among males, yeah. I think so.
Serena.
They're definitely one and two.
Can we?
Not now.
Serena just got engaged.
So what?
To the Reddit guy.
Good for them.
That's a lot of money.
They both have a lot of money.
Does that go the distance?
How do I know? I've never met them.
Is that a strategic? I'm not even really sure what Reddit is. That's
the least surprising thing I've heard today.
What does Reddit really do?
Reddit's kind of like a glorified message board.
That's what I felt like.
Purely academic.
No, my God. It's not true.
But it's like just a chat room, right?
No. It's not like a chat. It's a little bit. It's like a message board.
Yeah. So I feel like Reddit. So I feel like this marriage is almost a convenience thing. She's using him. She's able to get some internet game and control some messaging.
Yeah, because she's got a real big problem with that.
No, but I'm saying, but she's now got a whole new enterprise.
Or maybe she loves the guy.
There's no love in the celebrity world. There is no love. No one's in love in the celebrity world. Love is a relative terminology.
So Ronda Rousey fights last night. And by the way, since she lost her championship to Holly Holm, Holly Holm went and lost her championship to Misha Tate, who went and lost that championship to Amanda Nunes, who went and beat Ronda Rousey last night. 48 seconds, punched in the face, out on her feet, ball game. Ronda Rousey made $3 million last night as the challenger, the champion, the defending champion, $200,000.
Which, for most of us, is a lifetime earnings, but...
But the champion, the person who came to the ring second, made 30 times less than the challenger coming off a loss. That underscores the power of Ronda Rousey in MMA and especially women's MMA. And now that Ronda Rousey's lost two in a row, been beaten badly in both, the invincibility myth is shattered.
Yeah. And she could still fight, but she's not going to have the je ne sais quoi that made her what she was.
She may have not only lost her entire career, which to her fight career might not have continued much anyway. She's got a ton of money now. She's got a celebrity Q rating.
Although she doesn't need to fight.
She doesn't,
but her celebrity Q rating is going to
dissolve. No doubt.
She should have gotten out. She should have gotten, and I know that's hard to say because everyone would have then said, but you are leaving all this money on the table. You could have fought four more times, collected huge paydays, and then you'd have even more. Which shows, by the way, the frailty of this whole operation.
Oh, of course.
I mean, right? Yeah. You're in until you're not.
Especially because you can lose, and Ronda Rousey did not lose in this way, but you can lose in a combat sport
on a fluke.
You
trip and someone catches you, and it's over, right? And then maybe you never fight again. 100% true.
But Ronda Rousey last night didn't just necessarily lose her fighting career. She may have taken an entire sport down with her.
Yes.
Because if your defending champion is making 30 times less than a challenger coming off a loss to a champion who has lost their belt to someone who's already lost their belt to someone, how does your sport go forward when your only marketable figure now has no marketability?
Yes. Well, it affirms a couple of narratives. And I think at the very least, it reminds us that women's UFC was never really a popular sport.
Never.
You had a popular figure that became larger than the sport, but there was really nothing there.
Right? Correct.
There was a figure that people wanted to see and were intrigued by, but people weren't really interested in women's sports and women's UFC. And I think this is true for many women's sports, and it's problematic that people aren't actually interested in watching women's athletics. They happen to fall for certain figures. Women's basketball struggles with this all the time.
Mm-hmm. True.
WNBA, no one watches the WNBA. There may be particular individuals that play women's basketball that people get a little interested in, they'll watch them play for a little while. Rebecca Lobo was certainly a figure like that. And then when they're not interested in that figure anymore, she becomes just another player. They're not interested. Mm-hmm. What they're not interested in is the one thing that supposedly we all want in sports, which is level playing field, parity, anyone could beat anyone, right? All of those things. In women's athletics, it's almost like that's a death knell. And tennis, by the way, is not all that different. Wait till Serena's out of women's tennis. I don't know what the American taste for women's tennis is going to be when we don't have a dominant American athlete at the top.
It'll probably look like their taste for current men's tennis, isn't a heck of a lot,
but worse.
Because men's tennis will still exist, and there are a lot of people out there who will just say, well, if I'm going to watch a tennis match, I'd rather watch the men.
Yeah, tell me about their level of interest in women's golf. Right now, and I will say, if there were a dominant female golfer, American female golfer,
right.
particularly one who was attractive.
There is one, except the problem is she's from New Zealand.
Yes. If they were a dominant American, attractive female golfer, everyone would feign interest in women's golf and until that person became beatable, and then we wouldn't care anymore. And that exists to some degree on the men's side as well, the Tiger effect in golf.
They tried to do it with Michelle Wee in golf. They tried.
She wasn't that good.
Well, and it's also really, really hard to be dominant in golf. It's just not a sport that lends itself to dominance. That's why what Tiger Woods did was so mind-blowing.
Yes. So so that exists to a lesser degree on the men's side, but it's a problem. Look, we love dominant athletes in men's sports and in women's sports. The NBA is carried by stars, and the NBA is carried, and the NFL, by dominant teams. We really, as much as we say we like for anyone to beat anyone, we like even more for there to be really, really, really high-level talent at the top that, you know, that wins over and over again. We like dynasties. We always have liked dynasties. That's why as much as baseball would be served by having parity, we do like the Yankees to be great, and we do like the Dodgers to be great.
You like dynasties because you get joy on both ends.
Yep.
You
get when they win, when they lose.
Exactly. Yeah. You get the joy of the dynasty being built, and then you get what you really like, the reckoning.
Well, look, I've always said that Notre Dame still is one of the most important college football teams in the country. I understand that varnish, I mean, that is kind of worn off, and there's so many other programs that it almost doesn't matter. But isn't it great when Notre Dame's good and you get to beat them in a big game? I mean, I will say, Notre Dame in the college football playoff would be electric. It's electric.
Absolutely.
It's electric.
Yeah. And mostly because it's a common enemy.
Yep.
It gives the people who have no rooting interest a rooting interest.
Right.
Against Notre Dame. It's the same thing with the Patriots now and the Cowboys in the NFL. You've got a team to root against. You need a villain. You have a villain to root against.
And the NFL, I think, is the only American sports property that has made themselves relatively immune to that, where you can still put in any four teams and everyone gets excited. College football is not that way. Alabama is gold mine for college football.
Yep.
It's a gold mine for college football.
Because they've had enough success that now they're easy to root against. It's very easy for anybody who's not interested in Alabama or Washington to just flat out root for Washington because they don't want to see Alabama win.
And I'll tell you what, you take Alabama out and you put in, you name your team, and let's say Alabama had a couple losses, and all of a sudden it was Mississippi State. Remember a couple years ago, Mississippi State had a great...
Or Wisconsin, or Auburn, or whoever.
I
mean, it doesn't matter.
I'm not kidding. I don't think I'm watching Washington, Wisconsin. I don't think I'm watching it. I just don't care. Right? But I would be – I just don't care that much.
Right.
You put Alabama in any game and I'll watch it.
Well, sports need to reach a massive populace. You know, you're going to get your diehard sports fans that are going to watch anything. They're going to watch the college football playoff just because it's the college football playoff. But to bring in other people, you know, your casual sports fans, your people that aren't sports fans at all, you need the storyline. If there's no storyline, there's no reason to watch. And that's the Ronda Rousey thing. There was a storyline, and now that storyline is over, and there's nowhere for that sport to go.
What I'm not sure about, and I think this is what we were getting at earlier, I'm not sure that America has really any interest in women's mixed martial arts.
Oh, I think we're sure of that. They don't. They don't.
It's interesting that we were able to get that excited about one particular athlete, and yet – in the end of the day, we don't really care all that much about the sport itself, and I don't know where to go with that, and I don't think it's inherently, I don't think it's overtly sexist, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's overtly sexist either. I think Ronda Rousey had it. She had the it factor that people loved. I mean, even last night with very light promotion, almost $5 million in tickets sold. 18,000 people went to the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. It was the largest live MMA crowd ever.
I think what this also does say is this. I think, just to put this kind of the perspective of women's athletics, I think we are at a point in our society where it doesn't bother us that women engage in kind of rough, masculine, physical kind of sports. And in some cases, we'll even watch it, right? This isn't the kind of thing where people are offended by the fact that women are participating in MMA. But on the other hand, outside of the one or two kind of star figures, we're still not interested in it.
No. Well,
I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Outside of your friends who don't have cable, most of us have other options. And so now when you don't have a dynamic storyline, when you don't have a dynasty, when you don't have a villain, when you don't have a hook to bring in the casual fans who could also be watching the Real Housewives of Orange County Marathon on Bravo.
Which is...
When you don't have that hook, it goes away.
But what's really tough, though, and this is where tennis has the same situation, women's tennis has the same situation. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Sure.
Because on the one hand, what you don't want to have to do if you're a women's sport is to have to always hook your card up to the one attractive superstar and promote them. Because it feels disingenuous.
It does,
no doubt. It's not real sport.
No doubt.
Right? It's a show.
There's a double standard that exists.
It becomes almost like professional wrestling, right? Where you're just pushing that. It's like Rocky III. They was handpicked, Rock. Right? It's like Mick yelling. They was handpicked. Right? You're just pushing the guy to the front, right, that everyone wants to see. On the other hand, if you allow the sport to become more egalitarian and you have anyone can beat anyone, like, right? Like, what you'd like, no one watches.
Right.
So what do you do?
You have two choices. You have to accept that your place in the world of sport is lesser than perhaps you would like and just recognize that you have a fan base, smaller than you would like, but you have a fan base and you can make some money, less than you would like, but that's your fan base and you play to them. Or, like you mentioned, you got to have to kind of sell out in a disingenuous way. I mean, look at women's college basketball. I know a ton of basketball fans. You know, forget men's basketball, women's basketball, NBA, whatever. A ton of just flat-out basketball fans that watched UConn at Maryland this week because there was a hook to it. There was a storyline to it. You're ostensibly going to see elite basketball. They tuned in to watch that game because they were given a reason.
UConn. You're watching UConn.
Exactly. And on the road in a great atmosphere and theoretically the most beatable they've ever been against, you know, there were reasons to watch that game. There just isn't that on a night-in, night-out basis the way that there are in
and as soon
the
as
NBA,
UConn,
the NFL,
if,
the
if
NCAA.
If UConn loses in the NCAA tournament, no one's watching.
Right. Say UConn makes it to the Final Four or loses in the semifinals, nobody watches the championship.
Yeah. Or even say they lose the first two rounds, no one's watching the rest of the tournament.
Exactly.
If Duke and Kentucky lose in the first round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, they still get their audience.
Exactly.
I understand it may shrink a little bit. They still get the massive audience. Mm-hmm. And that is – it's. I don't want to say it's unfair because life's not fair.
It's just the way it is.
It's unjust, right? It's not equal, obviously.
It's just the way it is.
It is the way it is. But and then it gets into much deeper norms. But where does women's MMA go?
Which, by the way, does not make women's college basketball bad. Does not make women's MMA bad.
It probably makes it better. It the just, reality, women's MMA, I would make the argument, probably is better than we gave it credit for being, right? There's a lot of women now that can win. There's not just one woman that can win. What happened to Ronda Rousey, though? Like, she was unbeatable. She was going to fight Floyd Mayweather.
Well, no, so everybody's going to fight Floyd Mayweather. What happened? She got kicked in the teeth by Holly Holm, and then I think just the weight of the pressure, you know.
I don't know.
I think
I'll tell you what.
Pressure, and look, and I've never I don't know anything personally about fighting, but what I've heard from people in the fight game is that to be truly great, truly elite against top-level competition, you have to be 100% in and 100% focused.
Here's my question. You're in an MMA ring.
No. My answer is no. Not in an MMA ring.
Would you pass out before you got hit?
Oh, heck yeah. I would absolutely. I'd just curl up
in the
fetal position.
No, I'm just saying, would the weight of the moment actually, would you actually physically I understand you'd tap out.
Damn right I would.
You'd tap out before the music ended.
I wouldn't even walk down the aisle.
Could you tap out before you get in the octagon?
I just walk in, a couple of taps, get the heck out of there.
But
by the way, so would everyone.
Oh, I don't know.
So would everyone. One of the most detestable figures on the planet is the guy who's like, I'd take that punch for $3 million.
No. Because that's going to pay way more than that for my life support.
You wouldn't be able to open and close your mouth after that punch.
No. I've never been like that. But I don't think, if they forced you in there, and they're like, look, you can't tap out, I don't think you could actually get hit. I think you would actually pass out before you.
Yeah, again, I don't think we're talking about me personally. So would you.
Oh,
and so would you. And so would you.
Like, well, there's something not. A lot of you know. I happen to think that you are less. You are less like. I think there are a lot of guys that would kind of have that false bravado and then they'd get hit and then they'd realize. I think you, myself included, by the way, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter. All right. But I happen to think that you and myself, I think I would actually pass out from the moment.
I think I probably would too. But you know what? I actually think that's less embarrassing. That's less embarrassing than if I went in there and thought, like the guy who stands at the front of the marathon, and thought, yeah, I can do this. I can hang with Conor McGregor. Watch me catch him with one.
Would you? Do you think that you would inadvertently lose control of your bowels?
I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that's all. I don't think that's a thing that necessarily. I don't know. I doubt it.
I'm not. Maybe urinate.
No, I think probably passing out from the fear is probably more the likely scenario.
Because this is tough. Like, there is also like 20,000-30,000 people screaming for your head.
Oh yeah,
they want blood. And you're standing there, and you're looking across at this killing machine. You know what's coming.
Any reaction would be totally involuntary. There's no voluntary reaction at this point. Your body does what your body does. And you just hope the worst thing that could happen, the worst thing, would be paralyzed by fear.
And you, because then you,
because then you can't move, and then you have to get hit. Something needs to happen that puts you down. If you stay up on your feet,
and your
troubles are coming.
Well, the other problem is you can't get your hands up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want your hands up.
Yeah, the paralysis by fear is what gets you. What you need to have happen is something that takes you down.
But this is like, you know, like birds and mice, they often die from a heart attack when they see a cat, right? Because the cat's so scary.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have the heart attack. That's the other thing that could happen. You could actually have a heart attack.
Absolutely. And again, I go on record as saying that would be less embarrassing than
less
thinking.
Embarrassing.
Oh yeah, than thinking that you could pull something out of your head.
You think the YouTube video of you just walking in and getting knocked out is less embarrassing than you defecating and urinating while you're having a heart attack? I don't. That's not an easy one to live down. I mean, that's a tough one.
I don't. But you know what? In the aftermath, you have an easier time. There will be more people that
we
sympathize.
We are way over break.
There will be more people
we got two breaks to go.
That sympathize with your plight if you evacuate your bowels than there will be that sympathize with you in a vegetative state when you're like, yeah, I just thought I might be able to get him. Like, you'll get no sympathy at that point because everybody would be like, honestly, if I was in that situation, that'd probably be me too, man. Like, I get
know.
It. If well, I was there, that'd be me too.
A lot of people think they're tougher than they are. We have
well,
to
those
go
people are wrong.
All right.
More of the classroom ahead after this. Fox 12 20 97.3 ESPN Radio. Happy New Year from your friends in the classroom. It's your weekly Smart Look at Sports. I'm Jeff. He's Keith. Mike and Matt hanging out as well. Quite a year in sports.
How great is it, by the way, that we're doing a show for these for the great people of the New York Hudson Valley and all the people who are streaming, listening to us online.
It's our cross to bear.
I mean, this is it.
This is what we do.
I mean, I don't want to say I feel underappreciated.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
I do feel underappreciated. But it's December 31st, and we were here on New Year's as well.
Christmas Eve, you mean?
Christmas Eve. That's when we were here. Yep. And first night of Hanukkah, that was. And we're here now, and we'll be here next week.
I won't.
I will. Well, see, Dad, this is where it gets serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trouble for you.
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to go.
Okay, no trouble for you.
No, I'm just going to stay here. We'll do a show. We're going to get the live stream up because I'll be able to get a web address by next week. So we're here, and we're just doing this for you. Everyone in this university is off. The whole place is shut down. The whole place is shut down. It's the most inefficient. I mean, there's no one working here. Us and security, all right? And we're here. And I don't know that I feel like we're really being appreciated by the people in New York Hudson Valley.
What should those people do to show you the appreciation you think you deserve?
Here's what you should do. All right, two things. One is you can send a little something-something to the office, like just a thank you note, just a handwritten thank you note.
Done.
You did that. Mike did that. Mike already did it. But I'd like the people of the New York Hudson Valley, just write a note. Say thanks, 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 Keith. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Dr. Strubler. Thanks for bringing us this great programming here on New Year's Eve. I thought I was going to have to listen to, I don't know, some syndicated ESPN garbage. And instead...
He's a company man.
Instead, you're bringing us great, great programming that's geared for us, that's right here for us.
No other show, we promise you this, is wondering whether it's more or less embarrassing to evacuate your bowels during a UFC
or to get
fight.
Knocked out. That's right. Don't. All you're going to get on these other programs is, I don't know, Alabama's defense is pretty good. I don't know. Dabo Sweeney's been game scheming for 3 weeks now. I don't know. Urban Meyer's got a few tricks up his sleeve. Like, whatever. You don't need that garbage. You don't need it. All right? Go get that online at bleacherreport.com and just do it in your spare time. No one needs it. All right? That's a dime a dozen. That's ham and eggers. All right? We're bringing you the real stuff. And so what you can do, all right, you can send me a note. Just send me a thank you note. All right? Do something like that. I mean, look, you want to send chocolate? Don't send me anything homemade. I won't eat it because I'll assume it's poisoned. Or I'll assume you didn't wash your hands before you made it. You know, I don't like that. People send you stuff. I don't like that. I don't like eating other people's homemade stuff like that. I get nervous about it. I don't know the cleanliness. What do you looking
at? My new goal in life is I'm going to sneak you meat. I am going to make something that you would think there's no way there's meat in this. Just watch the magic. Keith Strohler, in case you're new to the program, vegetarian. Not full vegan.
That's
vegetarian.
That's like the
literally not a vegan because, quote, it's too difficult.
It is too hard. That's like the Seinfeld lobster episode with the eggs. Shrinkage.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we reflect on 2016 for a bit? Let's reflect, shall we?
Can we do New Year's resolutions at the end?
What was the second thing that people needed to do?
Oh, well, you can tweet at us or you can email. But what I've decided I don't want two things. I want a handwritten, delivered. Just go ahead and, you know, really send it to Marist. No white powder. Just send it to Marist. And I mean, honestly, that's going to keep me going for 2017. That's going to keep me going for another year. Look, by the way, you really want to show me something. Get your company. Stop being so selfish. Get your company to be a little bit more altruistic than you normally are. And buy yourself a sponsorship table at the Lifetime Excellence Award in Sports Communication, April 20th, at the Edison Ballroom in Manhattan. You're going to see nothing but A-list celebrities. I'm going to be up there. Hannah Storm's going to get a big award. You missed the last one with Brian Gumbel. You basically missed the Today Show reunion. I mean, Jeff was there. Mike was there. You missed it, and you should be donating that money. You don't need the extra office crap that you're going to buy with that. It's not all about profit. It's not all about revenue. Donate some of that money back, all right? It's time to get serious now. It's time to start. Make your resolution. It's time to be altruistic. So the other thing you can do for me is buy yourself a table, all right? And if you think $5,000 is too much for you, that's on you. Get your cheapskate bastard tushy off the couch. Get your lawn company to buy the table and start donating some money so Matt can travel with us to the national championship game. Right now he's going to be sitting at home because you won't buy a table. How do you feel about that, Matt?
I'm very upset.
That's right. These local businesses won't fund Matt to go fly out to Phoenix so he can sit and broadcast a show because you're so selfish.
I thought you were going to go full network there for a second. I thought that was good. We were going to tear it all down.
So or you can follow us on Twitter.
Happy New Year.
Or you can follow us on Twitter.
And sure, that's fine. Yeah. Yes. So let's reflect.
All right. Year that was. Began January. Terrific college football national championship. Alabama nipping Clemson 45-40.
I feel like we should play old Anxine behind.
Yeah. Fortunately. It might sit down. Just,
no.
Just sit. We don't have enough time. Then later in the Super Bowl, we fulfilled the great American dream. Peyton Manning rides off into the sunset. Victorious quarterback as the Broncos beat the Panthers.
Yep.
The NCAA tournament ends when Villanova hits a buzzer beater to win the national championship. Again, every kid's backyard dream.
And a small conference.
And people forget that buzzer beater happened after North Carolina made arguably one of the best shots in college basketball.
Yep.
And then not 7 seconds later, it was all forgotten. Leicester City wins the English Premier League despite being 5,000-1 preseason odds to do so. The Golden State Warriors complete the best regular season in NBA history. They win 73 games against 9 losses. However, they lose in an epic 7-game championship to LeBron James, who fulfills his destiny by returning to Cleveland and bringing the city their first championship in over 50 years. We have the Summer Olympic Games.
Who's singing this? What verse is this?
I didn't know all that sign had words.
Of course it has.
Oh,
words.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. I don't know what I was.
Papa Turner's answer.
That might have been right.
Is this like an Irish version?
We go to the Olympics. We go to the Olympics.
It's not an Irish song.
Usain
Danny
Bolt.
Boy.
Usain Bolt.
Get Danny Boy. Get Danny Boy up. Danny Boy.
Just stop. Danny Boy. Michael Phelps. The Cubs win the World Series. It happened. The Cubs.
this is getting me a little
look
scary.
At the superstars. The superstars that retire this year. Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, David Ortiz, Tim Duncan, Marshawn Lynch, Alex Rodriguez.
I feel like this is where we should go silent. We should have pictures of all people who passed away.
In memoriam.
Hard to do on radio.
Muhammad Ali, Arnold Palmer, Pat Summitt, Gordie Howe,
getting sacked.
Jose Fernandez.
Sure.
It's quite the year.
Quite the year. That's quite the year.
What will happen in 2017? We got to take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the year after this. Here in the classroom, Foxville 2097.3 ESPN Radio. It's our last segment of the year. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back in the classroom. Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, Mike, and Matt, too. Let's get right to our grades of the week. Forgot this is going to take a while. Ground control to
Major Tom. It's about time. You've made the
grade of the week.
Buckle up. It's about to get weird.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is college.
I don't do this ABC stuff that everybody else in the world does. You're in either an A or an F. You're not a D or a C.
Oh, yeah.
Or a B. You're either an A or an F.
I was a young man when this started.
Some people must turn on the show in the middle of that. Find it weird. All right, let's do some grades.
All right, here we go. Is there one thing we love in the classroom? It's revenge.
Well, you in particular.
Oh, and you.
When do I get revenge? I get nothing but friends.
And you. So, in Dallas, over the holidays, terrible news. A young woman, Brianna Clanton, was dumped by her fiancé via text message. This happened just before Christmas.
That's not nice.
Dumped via text message. Bad news, though, for the fiancé. As Brianna's Christmas present to this gentleman, it was Cowboys tickets. He had a chance to go to Cowboys are a hot ticket right now. Had a chance to go to the new stadium for the first time, see the Cowboys play, but broke up with fiance via text. So the fiance decided to get revenge by going to the game with her friend and bringing a sign referencing how awful the fiance was that dumped her via text message. Keith Strudler, grade that revenge.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. It would have been better if she were there with a new guy. So I give it a B+. She should have been there with another guy. You know what would have been best? If she was sitting in the stands with Tony Romo.
Yeah, it would have been interesting how she got Tony Romo into the stands when he would ostensibly have to be working. That would have been interesting.
Sure. So I give that. It's an A- kind of thing. Okay. Breaking off an engagement is big. Like, that's not just like breaking up with a girlfriend.
No, that's big.
That's a big deal.
Well, to be fair, it's kind of exactly like breaking up with a girlfriend, except there's a ring involved.
Well, it's a bigger deal. Once you're engaged.
Of course.
Let's be honest. The biggest moment is not getting married. Look, getting married is almost not significant. It's getting engaged and buying a house. Those are the two things. Because you know why? They both infer huge financial commitments.
True. Not that weddings are cheap. But yeah. Usually other people will help pay for
it. Yeah. It's the ring and the house. And the house, it's hard to unravel that nonsense. Once you're in on that, you might as well pack it in. So I guess it's a good one. It's an A-.
Oh, I thought it was B+. It's up to an A-. Anyway,
I'm great on curve.
Fair. One more real quick. Arkansas tight end Jeremy Sprinkle did not get to play in the Belk Bowl because he was caught shoplifting from Belk.
I heard about this one.
Keith Strudler, grade that a reason for suspension.
Boy, no one wins on this one.
The backstory is the bowl gave every player $450 to spend at Belk.
Yes.
Jeremy Sprinkle decided just to take $450 worth of merchandise and not use the gift card.
Did he do this on purpose?
I have no idea. I'm not in his head.
I mean, look, they should let him take whatever they want. They should. Here's the other thing. So I'm going to give this a C because this is how they should do it. They should do this like they do like some of those game show things where they give them a cart and they say you have 12 minutes to take as much as you want from the store. And they can just run down the aisles and fill their carts. That's how they should do this. So I give it a C because they should be more creative in how they're giving out. I understand that would be an NCAA violation. But they say 12 minutes, you get as much in your cart as you want.
That's it for grades of the week. Let's have some New Year's resolutions, shall we? Keith Strudler wants to publicly announce his New Year's resolution.
Well, I want to start with the interns.
Okay. Mike, you got one?
I haven't thought of mine yet.
New Year's resolution? Read more on paper and less through glass.
Sure. All right.
What?
Fine. Read more books.
Why?
That's fine. Why? I actually prefer reading on paper versus...
Why is that why is that good?
I haven't been reading a lot, and it's affected my attention span.
Yeah, but you can read on glass.
I've actually... I saw a study that says... you retain more if you read it on paper versus through a Kindle or a e-reading
true?
Device. Yeah.
Who was that? Was that study done by the
book? Again,
Tree Alliance.
I didn't pay a ton of time.
Dunder Mifflin.
I may have only read the headline, but I like having the book for because if you have the book and it's sitting on a table and someone comes over, they can be impressed by how smart you are.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, oh, you're reading.
That's why people subscribe to The Economist.
Exactly. So it sits on their table. Nobody's actually reading it.
No.
It's just so they have
they
it.
Actually recognize that. They know that.
Right.
All right. Matt, let's get a give me something.
Mine is to gain some weight.
Okay. I was going to say learn who Ronda Rousey was, but we took care of that one today.
Gain some weight.
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine. What's wrong with that?
Because most people want to lose weight.
Yeah, but some people who are small want to add muscle.
It's just muscle? Already.
Muscle, fat, whatever.
I like that it's muscle or fat.
Not making friends out of
it. It's just whatever.
Because all the fat folks driving around their car, apologies if I meant that sounded incendiary, but there are a lot of people.
I'll take your fat from you.
Matt will take your
fat,
by the way.
Why do you want that fat,
Bring that spare tire right on down to the.
All right, Keith Strudler, what's yours?
Mine is, to treat myself better.
Yeah, you should love yourself more.
To treat myself, to stop being so hard on myself.
Jeff?
All I heard was be more humble. That's all I heard. It's all the time we've got in the classroom this year.
Oh,
I don't make New Year's resolutions. When I have a problem, I solve it immediately. I don't wait for an arbitrary date. If I want to read more, I start reading more. I don't wait 5 weeks and then do it on January 1st.
I've got one for
you. Handle your business, America.
Shave. How about that?
This beard looks good. Don't be jealous because you can't grow one. We're out of time in the classroom, folks. We'll see you next year. Time slot stays the same. 10 a.m. to noon. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. For Dr. Keith Strudler, Mike, and Matt, I'm Jeff Brawl. Thanks for hanging out with us. Class, it's dismissed.